Wonderful to be with you all this morning. And yes, I am from Unity. And yes, I do hear all the time, is that Unitarian? After that powerful song, wow, that was amazing. And hearing everyone sing it this morning, and it says everything that needs to be said, I feel like I should just go ahead and go home. It's all been said this morning. But let's get started together by just getting grounded and being present here together. Whatever we had to do this morning to get here on time, and it's all done now. Whatever we have to do after we leave here, yes, the Mariners won last night. Wow. That's a joy in itself, isn't it? Or a miracle. Let's just relax and take a couple of deep breaths. Just be present here in the room. Feel your feet on the floor. Feel the chair supporting you and the floor supporting the chair and the ground supporting the floor and the earth supporting the ground and the universe supporting it all. In these days and times when there's so much going on, it's important to remember that our thoughts give us the power to change our lives. And this creative power is an awesome responsibility as well as our greatest freedom. To live with abundant joy and love, I keep my thoughts positive and affirmative. I believe in the good within and all around me and think and speak of it often. And it's really important, dear ones, in these days and times to remember that. I lift up those around me with thoughts and words of positivity and appreciation. I think positively of myself, forgiving my missteps and frequently affirming my spiritual qualities. I focus on the good, the possible, the beautiful, and the kindness I encounter in life. As I concentrate my thoughts, I fill my consciousness with good ideas and trust they will manifest as all manner of abundant blessings. And in these days and times, how important is it to make the choice for love, for good, for joy, for peace. We take a deep breath together. Let it be so, and so it is. I love that song. I've never understood it. And I understand that there is a movie or documentary now out that's about that song and Leonard Cohen's life. Yeah. Has anybody seen it? Is it wonderful? Yeah. Oh, good. I'm going to have to see it. So when you're somebody who has the audacity to come up to the front of the room and turn around as if to say, I have something to say that's important to hear. It's interesting to have that audacity in these days and times. Because we're living in a world that's going 100 miles an hour. And think about yourself like 10 years ago. What would that have been? That would be 2012, right? If you can think of something about you in 2012, could you ever have imagined the world we're living in at this point? No. No. And there were all kinds of predictions about things, you know, but nothing compared to what we have and what we're living. And so it seems important for those of us who come up to the front of the room is to help ourselves, myself, you, all of us, to remember the truth of who we are in the midst of all of this. Because it's easy to forget, isn't it? It's really easy to forget. Or to wonder, go, I'm not so sure. Are you sure? Yeah. One of the things to remember, dear ones, is that there's more love on this planet than there ever was before. And you could say to me, Joanna, I don't think so. It doesn't look like it to me. But here's the thing. Love, what love does is it seeks that which is unlike itself and brings it to the surface to be healed, to make room for more love. That's what love does. That's what's happening. And you'll know this. You know, when you first were in a relationship, a romantic relationship, and it was all sunshine and roses and flowers, and then you got married, and about, who knows, 2 months later, 6 months later, a year later, 5 years later, I don't know, whatever it was for you, you look at each other and go, what was I thinking? And I do a lot of spiritual coaching, and I coach couples, and very often they can't even begin to remember what it was that brought them together in the first place. And what's true about that is that love, again, in a relationship, seeks to find that which is unlike itself and brings it to the surface to be healed. And so it does that inside the relationship. And so stuff comes up. And it's not easy stuff, but it's stuff that needs to be dealt with, to be looked at, to be released, to be forgiven, whatever it is, that allows the couple then to move to a deeper level. Now, very often, I dare say, a lot of times, more often than not, that's the end of the relationship. Folks think, oh, this is terrible. I can't do, oh, this must have been a mistake. They don't want to do the work that's necessary to go to the next level in the relationship. And sometimes maybe that's the best. But for those who are willing to consider the possibility that maybe it is a sign that we need to go deeper, it can be a whole new beginning in many relationships. And so that same thing that love is, it's going deeper in our world. And dear ones, things that are happening in our world now have always happened in our world. But we're waking up, and therefore it's not okay anymore what's happening. Things that we used to just let go by, that just passed by, that just happened and we didn't pay any attention. Many reasons because we didn't know about it, because we didn't live in a technological age where we know every nanosecond what's happening everywhere. It's made a huge difference. We're waking up. And things that we tolerated for a long time, it's not okay anymore. Because it challenges the truth of who we are. It isn't part of who we are. As love, as light, as compassion, as peace. So hopefully you could maybe take a little bit of comfort in remembering that. I mean, it's still outrageous, I know. Anyway, when I look for support and inspiration to know what to say when I come up to the front of the room, one of the people that I really enjoy reading, and maybe you're familiar with him because he's pretty well known these days, is Mark Nepo. Do you know Mark Nepo? Are you familiar with his writing? If you're not, I really invite you to take a look at his writing. He's a wonderful writer. He's a very down to earth, easy to understand, to be with kind of writer. He is somebody who's come back from terminal cancer not once, but twice. And he talks about his experience doing that. And it's really, really, I have found it to be really, really inspiring. And in this book, one of his, he's written several books now, but this book is called The Exquisite Risk, Daring to Live an Authentic Life. And one of the chapters in it is called Waking Close to the Bone. And I thought about that phrase, close to the bone. You don't hear that very much anymore. But the way I understand that phrase was close to the bone means we're getting down to it. We're getting down to the real of a situation. We're coming very close to what the truth is. And he starts the chapter with this poem by Jane Bishop. There are no rules now. You who bore me, taught me, raised me, mother, father, friends, lovers, you are my brothers and sisters now. All that you taught me to help me in life is no longer true unless I find it so. Your truth's for you, mine for me. But I, being some part child still, grieve for the missing parents to be no more, nor to be a parent myself, no longer even a child of the universe, but co-creator. This is frightening. This is glorious. Do you remember what it was like if you've had the circumstance where you've lost both your parents, when the second one went, and now you're in this world without your parents? It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how many siblings you have. It's a different world, isn't it? It really is. There's no one standing in front of you or behind you anymore. You're facing it yourself. There's no one with that shared history. Even your siblings, it's not exactly the same as it was, no matter what kind of relationship you had with your parents or caregiver or whoever it was that brought you up. It's a different world. You're walking in a different way now. And I would say it kind of compares to how it feels. I don't know about you, but when I was young, 100 or so years ago, there was a lot going on in the world then too. I graduated from high school in 1970, the year of the Kent State shootings. Do any of you remember all that? You remember the war and the draft and all of that. That's the world that we were living in at that time. It was a very intense time. There was a lot of division in the world at that time too. Remember that? But for me, what's different about now than then is at that time, I always felt no matter what was going on in the world, no matter what was going on with the government, no matter who was in control, what party it was or what was happening, the Hawks or the Doves or whatever it was, I always felt that it was still America and that America had my back, had our backs, that we were still, do you know what I'm saying? There was still that foundation, you know what? And it doesn't quite feel like that anymore, does it? Not the same way. Some things have been stirred up, that things that we've taken for granted all our lives. And it's scary. As Jane Bishop says, it's terrifying. And it's also glorious. How could it be glorious? Because it causes us to have to get clear on who we are and what our truth is and what we want and what we're willing to be and do to have it. So many of us have kind of been sleepwalking through our lives because we all thought it was handled. Yeah, there was, you know, there was issue. There's been stuff, but we always thought the bottom line foundation that we would be a democracy was handled. There wasn't any question about that. Doesn't quite feel like that today. And institutions that we've always felt were impeccable, not so much. And so, again, the opportunity is for us to get clear, to connect with the truth of who we are, and to live from that place and not to settle for anything less. Now, does that create a divide? Well, it can. Does it have to? Does it have to create a divide? Well, it doesn't if we're willing to take compassion with us, respect with us, and that starts with self-respect and compassion for ourselves. I believe that the reason that we can be so destructive to one another is because we don't think enough of ourselves. That's how we can do it. They do. And it always comes at just a powerful moment. Maybe it's just putting an exclamation point on it, don't you think? It's an opportunity. I believe that the reason we can be so tough on each other, so critical of one another, is because we're never as critical to each other as we are to the one in the mirror. Have you ever noticed that? Oh, there's no one we're harder on in this world than the one in the mirror. That's the one. And so that's the point right there. Close, getting close to the bone, being aware of that truth of us. Letting yourself off the hook. Whatever you did or didn't do does not matter anymore, dear ones. It does not. What matters is whatever it was is the thing that got you here now, and you here now is what the world needs. That's what matters. Mark Nepo writes in this chapter about close to the bone, "I am only scared when thinking of the rules which say I'm not enough. If we rip them up, if we set them aside, there is nothing between us and the next moment about to happen." Isn't that interesting? There is a common heart beneath all human longing that burns like that fire at the center of the earth. And despite the weight of living, there is within each of us a luminescent heat from that fire that can be blocked but not contained. In the end, we are worn to the same bone, each of us hollowed to the one light we all take turns becoming. It's how that fire that no one sees keeps singing. For we each, in our turn, burn at the center under everything. It's how the song of a lifetime is played until we become the earth. It's how the breath of centuries keeps rising. This rising forth of sheer life is what I live for. It keeps me alive. Oh, the heart, like a whale, has no choice but to surface or we die. And having surfaced, we all must dive or we die. And more than books or flowers or thoughtful gifts that show I know you, the dearest thing I can give is to surface with a sheen of my spirit before you. And so I look for the truest friendships, watching the deep for spirits to surface, all wet with soul. Wet with soul. That's the kind of time we're living in, dear ones. It isn't a time to put the covers over our head and said, wake me up when it's over. And I've had those moments, have you? And we can look at it out there and see what's going on, whatever the next thing is, whatever the latest thing is, and think, what can I possibly do to make a difference in all of this? Well, we know that voting is really, really important. Writing our checks to support whatever causes and charities are important. And the most important thing is getting very clear on who you truly are, your worthiness, your right to be here, and letting go of the past. Have we talked about this before? Have we talked about this, on the space shuttle? Remember when we used to watch the space shuttle? Did you used to watch every single one of them that went up? And remember the way they used to have those big, what do they call those? Tell me what they were. The side things, the side. Is that what it was? Those big side things that they had to eject once they got into orbit. They had rockets. Okay, they were rockets. They were extra rockets. They were booster. That's what it is. And that's not that hard, is it? The booster rockets, yes. Remember the booster rockets? I noticed the one that went up the other day didn't have that. They do it a different way. Well, they did. It does. It comes back down to Earth again. But those booster rockets that they used to have, when the rocket took off, like if the space shuttle was on it or whatever, it would take off, and the booster rockets had a job of giving the extra energy to get that rocket into orbit, right? And then once the rocket got into orbit, what's the first thing that happens? The booster rockets have to be jettisoned. They have to be released. Why? Yep, they're too, they've done their job. And they're too heavy. They can't go into orbit. They can't be in orbit to go around the Earth. They're too much of a drag. They become excess baggage. They can't go along for the ride. They won't let the rocket be in orbit if we were to continue to hold on to them. Do you see where I'm going with this? Same thing. The stuff we've been dragging around with us all our lives, that it got us where we are, and we're grateful. So it's time to let it go so that we can move forward and be who we truly are in this time, because that's what's needed in this time. You connected to your love, to your peace, to your joy, to your compassion, to your understanding, to your strength and stamina, to your hope. And there are a lot of distractions out there. They're very compelling. But that's the opportunity that you and I have, is to remember. We can do this. We're here to do this. That's why we're here. That's why you've lived your life to this point, to be here. Think about it. I see you again in January. We can talk about it. Any questions or comments about any of this? Does this ring true for you? Is it important to remember? Yeah. Yeah. For the opportunity to get to be with you today and be reminded of the truth of us individually and as one, I am so grateful. Let it be so, and so it is.